Turn in God's Word tonight to Jeremiah chapter 35. Jeremiah 35. We'll read the entire chapter, which is also our text for this evening. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Go unto the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jaazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites, and I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shalem, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups, and I said unto them, Drink ye wine. But they said, We will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, Ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed, but we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed, and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. But it came to pass, when Nebuchadrezzar king of Babylon came up into the land, that we said, Come, and let us go to Jerusalem, for fear of the army of the Chaldeans, and for fear of the army of the Syrians. So we dwell at Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Will ye not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearkened not unto me. I have sent also unto you all my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, Return ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them. And ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers. But ye have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me. Because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but this people hath not hearkened unto me. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard, and I have called unto them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according unto all that he hath commanded you, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever. This is God's holy, inspired, and infallible word. May he bless it to our hearts this evening. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, The young people who have stood before us this evening have taken a vow, and that vow that they have taken publicly, as have all of us who have made confession of our faith in the church, is that they will live a new godly life. They have taken a vow that they will obey the word of the Lord and obey the commandments of the Lord to His glory out of gratitude for the salvation that they have received. And that vow to obey is strikingly illustrated in the history of the Rechabites in the days of Jeremiah. The reason for their obedience is strikingly illustrated here in the history of the Rechabites. And this call to obey, this vow to obey, which the Lord calls us also to do, is the calling of every one of us in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Judah in the Old Testament would not obey. And over against that disobedience, Jehovah calls to His church today, "Obey me." The days in which Jeremiah had to make this prophecy were dark days. They were sinful days in Judah. Jehoiakim was on the throne. The last godly king had been Josiah several years before, during whose reign Jeremiah was called to be a prophet. After Josiah died in battle, Jehoahaz became king, but he was evil. And after Jehoahaz died, Jehoiakim became king, but he was evil. And then Jehoiachin, who was evil, and then Zedekiah, who was evil, and that was the end of the southern kingdom as the Babylonians came to take them into captivity. These are the days of Jehoiakim, the second of the four wicked kings at the end of the southern kingdom of Judah. And the people of Judah were filled with disobedience. They were filled with idolatry, walking in their own ways. And so God told Jeremiah, take the Rechabites, who are strikingly, startlingly obedient, and set them before all the eyes of Judah as an example of obedience, that my people may learn to obey me. And so at the occasion of confession of faith, as we have heard the vow of the young people, and as we are reminded of our own vows to obey the word of the Lord, we too take a look at this striking example of the Rechabites and their obedience and the reason for that obedience, that we might be equipped also to obey our covenant God. Let us consider this word of then tonight under the theme, the obedient Rechabites. In the first place, consider their obedience. In the second place, consider the contrast. And in the third place, consider their blessing. The obedient Rechabites, their obedience, the contrast, and their blessing. In Jeremiah 35, God comes to Jeremiah and gives him a peculiar command, an intriguing command. He says to Jeremiah, "Go unto the house of the Rechabites." Now, the house of the Rechabites refers to a certain clan or a certain extended family that lived in the land of Canaan. God tells Jeremiah to find this clan, this house of the Rechabites, and take them into the temple, the house of the Lord, and take them into one of the chambers in the temple and set before them wine for them to drink. Jeremiah, heeding that command of God, went to find the Rechabites. He found Jaazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, no relation to the prophet Jeremiah, a different Jeremiah. Jaazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren and all his sons and the whole house of the Rechabites. Jeremiah found them, this whole clan. And in obedience to the word of God, Jeremiah brought this clan of the Rechabites into the temple as God had commanded. Verse 4, "And I brought them into the house of the Lord." Now Jeremiah didn't bring them into the holy place, not into that room of the temple where was the table of showbread and the seven golden candlesticks and the ark of incense. He didn't take them into the most holy place, certainly not there, behind the veil of the temple, where was the Ark of the Covenant. They were not allowed into those places, not being Levites or priests, and not allowed into the most holy place, not being the high priest. But Jeremiah took them into the courts of the temple and into the chambers that surrounded the temple. There were many rooms in the temple, not just those two rooms. That's where the worship of God would take place. That symbolized his dwelling with the people, but there were many other rooms in the temple as well. Rooms for priests to live in. Storage rooms for them to keep all of the vessels in the temple in. In fact, we read that the temple had locked doors and certain men with keys in order to open that door and take out the vessels that were necessary. Many, many rooms, many chambers all around the temple in the court of the priests and the Levites. It was into one of those chambers that Jeremiah took the clan, the house of the Rechabites. And this was apparently a prominent chamber. It was a chamber of a famous man who is listed here in the text as the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes. This was a prominent chamber apparently in the temple, so that many people would be able to observe Jeremiah, whom they knew well by now. Jeremiah was famous by now. They would see Jeremiah leading this whole clan of Rechabites into this prominent chamber in the temple. And probably some of the people then would have been able to overhear what was going on and even perhaps peek through the door and see what was going on there, so that the report of the Rechabites would spread throughout Jerusalem after this incident was finished. In obedience to God, Jeremiah led them into that chamber, and then he set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine. We don't know how many Rechabites there were. Apparently there were many of them. It's a whole clan, a whole house that's being brought in. It's not just a certain few, but all of them, apparently. We read earlier the whole house of the Rechabites was led by Jeremiah into the chamber. So now he sets pots full of wine before them. And he set out cups or bowls for them to dip into that wine in order to have a drink of that wine. And once it was all set, Jeremiah said to the Rechabites, "Drink ye wine." And the Rechabites gave a surprising, unexpected answer. No. No. The man of God, Jeremiah, had brought them into the temple. The man of God, Jeremiah, had set before them wine. And when the man of God, Jeremiah, commanded them, "Drink ye wine," although he didn't do it in the name of the Lord, for then they would have had to obey. He didn't say, "In the name of the Lord, drink wine," but when the man of God said, "Drink ye wine," their response was, "We will drink no wine." Verse 6. And the explanation that they give for not drinking wine is as startling as their answer. Their explanation is, "Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine." They were relating here the commandment not of their immediate father, but of one of their more distant ancestors, a man named Jonadab, the son of Rechab. And so at this point in the history, we have to step back a moment and find out who in the world these Rechabites are and who in the world this Jonadab was that these Rechabites would appeal to him for not drinking wine. So let's start with the question, who were the Rechabites then? Who were the Rechabites? From 1 Chronicles 2, verse 55, we learn that the Rechabites were a tribe in what we would call the Kenites, the tribe in a group called the Kenites. Now, we don't know very much about these Kenites, but we do know that Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, was also a Kenite. These Kenites were not Israelites. They did not descend from Jacob, the twin brother of Esau. It's possible they descended from Abraham, although it's hard to establish that. But we do know that they descended from Jacob. We do know that they did not descend from Jacob. The Kenites were not Israelites. The Kenites were a wandering nomadic tribe that at one point lived in the land of Canaan and perhaps had wandered away from the land of Canaan. But when God promised to give Abraham the land, he said, one of the tribes you're going to inhabit is the Kenites. Their land will be yours. These Kenites then were not Israelites, but these Kenites lived alongside of the Israelites. In fact, they lived right with them in the land of Canaan. Now, when we think of the Old Testament land of Canaan and when we think of Israel living in there, we often think just of the nation of Israel living there and maybe some enemies that had been able to withstand for a while, but everyone else is driven out and only the Israelites have the land. Well, there were a few others, including these Kenites, who lived in Canaan right alongside and even among the Israelites. How did they come to live in Canaan with the Israelites? Well, that happened after Israel was taken out of Egypt by Moses. When Israel had to wander in the wilderness, these Kenites joined the Israelites in wandering for those 40 years in the wilderness. And the Israelites themselves besought the Kenites to join them in the wilderness because the Kenites were nomads. They had experience living in the desert. They had experience living in tents. And so the Israelites besought them, you travel with us that you may teach us the way of the wilderness. And then when we go into the land of Canaan, we will do you good. We will not overthrow you. That history can be read in Numbers 10, verses 29 through 32. I'll read that passage a moment. Numbers 10, 29 through 32. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, and this is about the Kenites now, because Moses' father-in-law was a Kenite, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. And he said, that is Moses said, leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. So these Kenites, which included the Rechabites then, joined Israel in their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, and stayed with them when those 40 years were complete, and stayed with them when they went to fight Sihon and Og, the king of the Amorites, and Bashan, and when they entered into the land of Canaan. So that in Judges 1, verse 16, we read, and the children of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, went up out of the city of palm trees with the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah, which lieth in the south of Ered, and they went and dwelt among the people. The Kenites, this nomadic tribe, this nomadic clan and family, dwelt with the Israelites right in the land of Canaan. Now that gives us some of the details of the Rechabites, but let's step even a step further back yet and see what this all means for the Kenites and especially now for the Rechabites. This means that these Rechabites were not Israelites who did not have an inheritance in Canaan by lot. When the land was divided to the 12 tribes by lot in the days of Moses, and then again when it was given to them in the days of Joshua, the Rechabites had no inheritance there. They were not given a parcel of land the way people from the tribe of Ephraim were given a parcel of land. and the way people from Judah were given a parcel of land. They had no land given to them by Lot in the land of Canaan. They were strangers there, wanderers there. And in Jeremiah 35, they refer to themselves that way in verse 7, when their father Jonadab said that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. You're strangers. You're not inhabitants of the land of Canaan, but strangers in the land of Canaan. That's the first thing to see about the meaning of all of this for the Rechabites. They were strangers. But the second thing to see is that these Rechabites loved the Lord. They loved Jehovah. They did not worship Baal. They did not worship Molech or Dagon or any of the other idol gods of the other heathen nations. These Rechabites loved Jehovah. Though they were not Israelites, though they were not given a place by Lot in Canaan, they loved Jehovah. And that love for Jehovah is evident in the most famous of all of the Rechabites, a man named Jonadab. And that's who these Rechabites in Jeremiah's day refer to. Jonadab, our father, the son of Rechab, commanded us, saying, this Jonadab was a famous Rechabite. He was a powerful Rechabite. Hundreds of years before the time of Jeremiah, during the days of Elijah, when God raised up Jehu, godless though Jehu himself was, to destroy the family of Ahab, this Jonadab joined Jehu in that conquest of the family of Ahab. We read of that in 2 Kings chapter 10, verses 15 through 23. Ahab, or Jehu rather, had already finished killing most of the sons of Ahab. And now Jehu was mopping up all of the rest of the relatives of Ahab. And Jehu was about to destroy all of the priests of Baal. And as Jehu was making his plans to destroy the priests of Baal, we read in 2 Kings 10, verse 15, and when Jehu was departed thence, he lighted on Jehonadab, the son of Rechab. And that Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, here is the same as Jonadab, the son of Rechab, in Jeremiah 35. He lighted on Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him. Jonadab was seeking out Jehu to help him exterminate the worshippers of Baal. And Jehu saluted Jonadab and said to him, is thine heart right, as my heart is with thy heart? And Jehonadab answered, it is. If it be, said Jehu, give me thine hand. And he gave him his hand, and he took him up to him into his chariot. And he said, come with me, and see my zeal for the Lord. So they made him ride in his chariot. And when he came to Samaria, he slew all that remained unto Ahab in Samaria, till he had destroyed him, according to the saying of the Lord, which he spake to Elijah. And then, when Jehu hatched his plan to trick the priests of Baal and to draw them into the temple of Baal all together at once and then lock the doors behind them and send in the soldiers to slay them, it was Jonadab, the son of Rechab, who helped Jehu in that temple of Baal ask all of the priests of Baal, are there any servants of Jehovah here? If there's any servants of Jehovah, kick them out, because we're going to have a big feast to Baal today. Jonadab, the son of Rechab, was right there by the side of Jehu as Jehu finished exterminating the family of Ahab and destroying the worshipers of Baal. Jonadab, the son of Rechab, apparently had a great zeal for Jehovah, a great love for Jehovah, so much so that he assisted in this wiping out of the worship of Baal. But even if that's ambiguous, whether Jonadab was a child of God from that history, it is very clear from Jeremiah 35 that Jonadab loved the Lord. Jonadab gave to his descendants a command. In fact, four commands. First, drink no wine, you or your sons or anyone else. in our family, our clan will be teetotalers. We will taste no alcohol upon our lips. The second command that Jonadab gave to his descendants was that they would not build houses. No houses to dwell in the land of Canaan. The third command he gave them was not to plant any fields with seed, or have any vineyards, or have any kind of agricultural crop. That's again in Jeremiah 35, verse 7. Nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. And the fourth command that Jonadab gave to his descendants was that all their days they must dwell in tents. They must remain nomads in the land of Canaan. These were the commands that Jonadab had given to his family and that they had followed generation after generation. And by the time we get to this history in Jeremiah 35, with the Rechabites spread in that chamber of the temple and all the pots of wine before them, more than 250 years had passed. For 2.5 centuries, almost 3 centuries, the descendants of this Jonadab had followed his rules and his commands, so that now, standing in the temple with Jeremiah the prophet telling them, "Drink ye wine," they say to him, "We will drink no wine." They obeyed the word of Jonadab, their father, and had for all of these years. And as the Rechabites explain all of this to Jeremiah, they're quick to add, "We know you found us in Jerusalem, living in houses in Jerusalem. But we had to, just for the time being, because the Chaldeans, the Babylonians have come. They're raiding the lands where we lived. And so just for this brief amount of time, still as nomads, still not setting up house in Jerusalem, but only seeking refuge here for a little while, here we live in Jerusalem for a brief time until we can go back to our nomadic way of life." They had obeyed the words of Jonadab all these years. What do you think about those laws that Jonadab made for his descendants? Let's evaluate those commands for a moment. Was that right of Jonadab to make such rules for his clan to follow for hundreds of years? All of the things that Jonadab commanded were his own commands. They were not the commands of Jehovah. Jehovah did not forbid the drinking of wine. He didn't even forbid the drinking of wine in the temple. The Levites were allowed to drink wine in these chambers of the temple. The only rules regarding wine for the Levites and the priests were, first, don't become drunk, and second, don't drink while you're on duty. But otherwise, the priests and Levites were allowed to drink wine. Jonadab's command was not the command of God, but his own rule. Regarding building houses, that was not the command of God either. God allowed people to build houses. Regarding planting vineyards and sowing seed and having any kind of crop, God allowed that for his people. Regarding dwelling in tents, God did not command that for them. None of the things that Jonadab commanded were the requirements of Jehovah for them. They were the rules of Jonadab for his house. And yet, Jonadab's rules were legitimate. Jonadab had the right to make these rules for his house and for his family. And Jonadab had the right to make these rules for his house as the head of his house, who was called to oversee the spiritual life of his family and make rules that he thought would be good for the family. We know that God was not displeased with Jonadab for doing this, because he commends the Rechabites for following Jonadab's rules. If Jonadab had made these rules sinfully, God would certainly have said about the Rechabites, "You've been foolish for these 250 plus years. You've been following the precepts of men put away those precepts of men and follow instead the precepts of Jehovah. But God did not censor the Rechabites for obeying, which indicates Jonadab had the right to make those rules. And there's an application for the homes of covenant families today that fathers and mothers have the right to make rules for the family. They have right to make rules for the family that will help the family obey the laws of God. They have the right to make rules for the family that maybe the Word of God even does not specifically require. The father and mother don't have right to make a rule against the Word of God, never that, but they have the right to make rules for their family. A father may say to his 18-year-old son, "You may not smoke cigarettes. You may not," and the son may protest, "but it's legal, and I'm of age. There's no law in the Bible against me smoking cigarettes." And the father may say, I know that. Nevertheless, I know from my reading, and maybe even from my own experience, how difficult it is, how almost impossible it is to smoke in moderation. And therefore, I make a rule for this house that while you live under my roof, you will not smoke cigarettes. Or a father may make that rule, and a mother may make that rule about screens for their children. "We're not going to have an iPad here in this house. Or if we do, you're limited to this many minutes a day," or however long a period they set. "But there's no rule in the Bible about that. I may have more screen time, and that doesn't violate the law of God." Well, that's true. But I know how addictive those screens can be, and I know what they do in those games to make you addicted and want more and more, so that pretty soon your whole life is spent lived through those screens. And so I make a rule, we'll have no iPads here, or you'll be limited to this amount of time. And fathers in the home may say to their 21-year-old children, "Although the state has legalized the use of marijuana recreationally, for those who are 21 while you're living here, there will be no use whatsoever of that drug in this home." A father has the right, for the good of his family and to help them in their covenant life, to make rules for the family. That's what Jonadab was doing. But that leaves the question yet, in examining this obedience of the Rechabites, why did Jonadab make those rules? And there's all kinds of answers proposed. One answer proposed is this: well, Jonadab realized that because the Rechabites didn't have inheritance in Canaan, if they started building houses and planting fields, the Israelites would have become jealous. Or the Israelites would have said, "Hey, you're intruding into our inheritance," and would have made war against the Rechabites. So that Jonadab was simply looking forward, and with the foresight and forethought of a man who's wise and knows the times, making a rule to keep his clan at peace with the surrounding Israelites. Well, maybe that was partly in Jonadab's mind. We don't read anything about that in the Word of God. But we do read the reason that Jonadab made these rules. And the reason is at the end of verse 7, "that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers." Does that language sound familiar? That's language that we hear every Sunday morning when we read the law of God, "that ye may live long in the land which the Lord your God has given you." Living long in the land. And Jonadab now takes that language and he applies it to these rules that he's making for his family. "You do these things that you may live long in the land where ye be strangers." What Jonadab was expressing here then is the hope that the Rechabites would inherit Canaan. That the Rechabites, who were not Israelites and who were not given that land by lot, nevertheless would have a place in the promised land. And Jonadab here had his eyes fixed beyond that earthly land of Canaan. Jonadab's great hope was not this, that someday my descendants, many generations from now, will own a parcel of the land of Canaan and have a little vineyard that they may plant there. But Jonadab had his eyes fixed on the true Canaan, on the heavenly Canaan. And that's evident because he commands his children, you live like Abraham. You live like Isaac. You live like Jacob, who didn't build houses, though they could, in Canaan. Who didn't plant vineyards, who didn't have fields, but who were nomads and lived in tents. You live like the patriarchs, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because my hope for us, my children, my clan, my house, my hope for us is that we have an inheritance in that city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. What Hebrews 11 says about Abraham and his life in Canaan must be applied here to Jonadab and the Rechabites' life in Canaan. Hebrews 11, verse 9, by faith Abraham sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. Like he's a stranger there, dwelling in tabernacles, not houses, but tents, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. How in the world could Jonadab hope for that inheritance in heaven, not being an Israelite himself? How in the world could he hope for that? Because Jonadab knew the mercy of Jehovah. Jonadab loved Jehovah. Jonadab had seen that mercy in his own life, apparently, and so was zealous to eradicate Baal worship out of Israel and help Jehu, though Jehu was ungodly. Jonadab helped Jehu eradicate that Baal worship. And Jonadab said to his children, you live like the patriarchs, that you may dwell long and live many days in this land wherein ye are strangers. The heart of that land where they were strangers was Mount Zion. And the heart of Mount Zion in that land was Jerusalem. And the heart of Jerusalem was the temple. And the heart of the temple was the most holy place with the Ark of the Covenant, where Jehovah God lived with His people. And the entrance into that fellowship was the blood of atonement brought in by the high priest one day a year. So that Jonadab, beholding that whole Old Testament worship, saw through to the spiritual meaning of it and said, my family, there can be an inheritance here. Though we are strangers in this land, we may live here many days. We may have an inheritance in heaven in the city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God, because there is hope even for such as us through the blood of the Lamb that is slain. Jonadab held that hope by faith and looked to the salvation of him and his family by faith. And that's now why, my children, you follow these rules, because this expresses our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in Jehovah, our covenant God too. And so the children of Jonadab, year after year, generation after generation, lived like nomads, lived in tents, with the addition that they tasted no wine all these years, for their faith and their hope in the salvation through Jesus Christ. And what a contrast that formed with the people of Judah. What a contrast. The Rechabites, for 250 years, obeyed Jonadab's command. The people of Judah daily disobeyed Jehovah, as Jeremiah warned them of. Verse 12, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will ye not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearkened not unto me. I have sent also unto you all my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, return ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them, and ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers. But ye have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me. Consider the contrast between the Rechabites and the Jews. The Rechabites were obeying the voice of a man who had been dead for 250 years. The Jews would not obey the voice of the prophets who came to them day after day, rising up early. The Rechabites obeyed the words of a mere earthly father. The Jews refused to hearken to the words of the Father who is in heaven. The Rechabites obeyed as strangers in the land who had no possession there, that is, in the earthly land. The Jews, though they had the land of Canaan as their own, and riches and wealth in their vineyards and oliveyards and crops besides, obeyed not the voice of Jehovah. What a contrast between the Rechabites and between the Jews. And so God told Jeremiah, bring the Rechabites into the temple, into that prominent chamber, so that all the ears in Jerusalem will hear about what the Rechabites have done these 250 years later, still obeying the voice of their father, that I may reprimand the Jews for their disobedience. But why was it that the Jews would not obey? Why was it that they would not hear the voice of God through the prophets day after day? It was because the Jews, at least the Jews whom Jeremiah rebukes here, were unbelievers. They were unbelievers. They did not believe in Jehovah. They did not hold as their hope life in that city which hath foundations. They believed in other gods. They believed in themselves. They believed in their riches. They believed in earthly pleasure. As we read in Jeremiah 34, that they went after other gods to serve them, verse 15. So that when the word of God came to them, they would not hear and they would not hearken because they didn't believe in this Jehovah. And that teaches us the power of obedience. Where does that power of obedience come from? The power of obedience does not come from the human heart that steels itself when it hears the law of God and says, now, by my will, I will obey this. But the power of obedience comes from faith in Jehovah, from believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, from having that hope that God Himself puts in our hearts, that we have a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God, so that when the word of God comes to us, my people, here is my law, obey that law. We love that law, and we obey that law by the power of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself dwelling within us. And so the warning to Judah, and the warning to us, is repent of your sins, and now especially this, listen, hearken to the word of Jehovah, and hearken to that word, because He has redeemed you by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hearken to that word, because He has declared His love in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because by the power of the gospel, He has renewed your heart. Believe, hearken, listen to this word that Jehovah brings. And the Rechabites, believers that they were, by the power of the grace of God upon them, believed. And you and I, believers that we are, by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel in our hearts, hearken and obey, so that the four of you who have made a vow tonight to live a godly life may find the power to obey that vow in your Savior and in His blood and in the love of God which renews you. The promise of God then to the Rechabites is that they would have a blessing forever. Verse 18, and Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according unto all that he hath commanded you, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever. Now the idea here of the blessing of the Rechabites is not this, that the Rechabites earned their blessing. On first reading it might look something like that. Because you've obeyed all these things, you Rechabites, there shall not want a man of you to stand before me forever. Because you obeyed, because. That looks like it's saying, you've earned this, you've merited this. That cannot be the meaning here. And that cannot be the meaning here in the first place, because Jeremiah does not refer to a word of God that they obeyed. Jeremiah refers to the word of their father, a man that they obeyed for all of those years. You've obeyed Jonadab, the son of Rechab, in not drinking wine and so on. That cannot be the case that they merited their blessing in the second place, because the blessing of God is never given because of our good works. It's never given because we earn it or merit it. The blessing of God is always given freely by the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. The cause of the blessing is the blood of Christ. The means by which we receive that blessing is the faith that God kindles in our hearts, uniting us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that blessing will only come when there is obedience. It will only come when there is obedience. But that's because obedience is the fruit of that salvation and the fruit of that faith, and therefore will be present as we believe in the Lord and cling to Him. And so what Jeremiah and Jehovah is saying to the Rechabites here is not this, you earned your blessing from Jehovah, but He graciously gives it to you. For He is the one who kindled in your hearts this faith. He is the one who caused you to live as nomads, as strangers in the land of Canaan, with your hope set on the heavenly Canaan. He is the one who has done all of these things. And now He will crown His own grace with even more grace in this blessing that He gives to you. And what is the blessing? That Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not want a man to stand before me forever. That is, he shall not lack it. Rechabites, God is going to continue His covenant in your generations forever. And we read later in the book of Ezra, or the book of Nehemiah rather, when the Jews returned from Babylon to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, that there was a Rechabite there among them. A Rechabite who was given a place to build on the walls of Jerusalem. You can read about that in Nehemiah 3, verse 14. A son of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, was still present even after the captivity, showing the promise of God to be sure and true. And so the Rechabites stand as a startling and powerful testimony to us who have been loved by Jehovah and who love Jehovah ourselves by the power of His grace in our hearts. And they stand to us as a testimony of how it is that you young people and how it is that the Church of Jesus Christ will obey the word of the Lord today. It is by the grace of God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be all the glory. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word and for Thy gospel, which warms our heart with the comfort of salvation in our Savior, and which sets before us the way that we must go in obedience to Thee. We pray that Thou wilt apply this word to our hearts, make it take effect, and so strengthen us, Father, that we, as the Rechabites, may obey, that we may obey Thee, our Heavenly Father, to Thy glory, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter number 65, number 65. Here we sing again of the obedience God commands and that we love. Grace and truth shall mark the way, stands the one where the Lord His own will lead. If His word they still obey and His testimony see. The four stanzas, all four of 65. Shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.